I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Let's talk about the bad news first. Bad news is we are not celebrating the Jewish Passover. None of us here are Jews. All of us here are Gentiles. That's good. But we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are. And we are going to use unleavened bread. Because Jesus Christ is sinless. I know He became sin for me. I understand that. The Father put my sins upon Him. And He became guilty because of me. Because of you, if you are a believer. Wine? We're going to use wine. Not because I say so. Because the church says so. I can remember about 40, 45 years ago, I made a vow to the Lord. And a vow is something that one has got to be careful to make it before the Lord. I said, Lord, I vow unto you, alcohol will never again, and I said the words, touch these lips. 40, 45 years ago. And from that day until this day, man, I have maintained that vow. The Lord took all desires away from me just like that. And in 1994, I heard this church uses wine for the Lord's Supper. Well, that got my attention real fast. I said, Lord, I made a vow to you. Lord, I cannot. I will not. And so for some 3 weeks, I went to Scripture. I prayed. And at the end of the 3 weeks, I was satisfied that by taking wine, I would not break my vow, which I've never broken. Oh, I tell you, Gene and I have always been close. But after that vow, we became close. I mean, real close. But we partake, we do. We use unleavened bread and we use wine because the church says so. And I agree. But not only that, the Lord's Supper can be summed up by three terms. Open communion. All that means, if you are a believer, it doesn't matter where, all y'all come and join us. This church is not open communion. And then there is close, C-L-O-S-E, close communion. If you're a Baptist, you're welcome to join us. This church is not close, C-L-O-S-E. communion. Nor am I. And then there is closed communion. C-L-O-S-E-D. This church is closed communion. I am closed communion. And by that, I mean only the members of this church can partake the Lord's Supper with us. Unleavened bread? Wine? Yes. No problem. Closed communion. In just a little bit, we are going to observe our Lord's Supper. And in doing so, we are going to show forth His death. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we will show forth His death. We'll do it until He comes. But not only that, as you will discover, you may wonder, how in the world does the text that is used today, how in the world do you get the Lord's Supper out of that? Well, you're going to say, by and large, the same Jesus in our text went to Calvary for the likes of me. And this is the very first time that we as a church have observed our Lord's Supper. Now, I know generally, usually, we do this at night. At my house, I eat supper at nighttime, at dark. Well, I do at 5 o'clock. But this is the first time that we as a people have met to observe the Lord's Supper in our brand new building. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Boy, you folks have worked so hard to overcome the flood. Oh, listen. Our text this morning is going to be a multi-text message, but it's going to be centered around the 11th chapter of the Gospel account of John. You know, it's the account where Lazarus got sick and he died. And so, rather than read the entire chapter, I'm going to read just enough to give you the context of what's going on. Now, you can listen, or you can read along with me. I'm in John 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I mean, he was sick. I've heard that you can only be sick 3 days. After 3 days, sickness has you. I don't know. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved all three of them. Aren't you glad that he loves you? Had he not loved us, he would never have gone to Calvary for us. Had he not loved us, he would never have taken our sins upon him. Had he not loved us, he would never, never have given us life everlasting. But he loved us. And he loved Martha and her sister. And he loved Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Oh, he's sick? I think I'll stay here 2 more days. Aren't you glad that his ways are not our ways? And then skip down to verse 25. Jesus, in the meantime, has gone to Bethany. He's gone to the house. He has seen Martha. He has seen Mary. Lazarus has, in the meantime, died already. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, the body may die, but the person will never die. Believest thou this? Oh, this is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. So, this chapter is centered around the death of Lazarus. And we see that the purpose of it is to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is the resurrection from the dead. It's to demonstrate that the resurrection from the dead is not an event, but the resurrection of the dead is indeed a person, the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And did not he tell us, as oft as you drink this cup and eat this bread, ye do show my death until I come. Oh, I understand. In our text, Lazarus has died. I understand that. But you know what? Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the power on high. Jesus Christ is soon coming again. But I want you to know, we need to know these things about our Lord. The first thing that I want us to see is the words, is the word I heard. And we see this in verse 4. Now, the context of the entire chapter is centered around the death of Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus was sick, Lazarus died. To us that are living, death is everything. Take me for an example. I am no longer married. I was married for over 50 years, but no longer am I married. That has ended. That is final. I no longer have a wife. And it's been difficult. Oh, it has. And I thank the Lord that you've not had to experience that. But though it's been difficult, I am content. But I wonder, what about you? Are you content in the experience, whatever that may be? Are you content in the experience that you are having? And then I call your attention to the word again. Jesus heard. And again, it's in verse 4. Oh, our Lord always knows. I mean, the sisters, they sent word to Jesus. Lazarus, whom thou lovest, oh, he is sick. Is that boy ever sick? Our Lord always knows. He does. He knows the end from the beginning. He will always do His good pleasure. And He doesn't need my permission, and He does not need your permission. He is sovereign. He does what He wants to do. He knows what is always going on. He knew about Lazarus. He knows the circumstances I'm in. He knows the experiences you are having. But you know what? He wants you and me to depend upon Him. He does. And not only does He know what you're going through, but He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. That's a marvelous thing. Or should I say, a frightening thing. He knows our thoughts. He does. Listen to David the psalmist in Psalm 94 and verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of a man, that they are vanity. My thoughts. Doesn't matter what I think about. It doesn't matter what you think about. The Bible says that God knows your thoughts and that they are vanity. That's what it says. And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, we're told, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have the same thoughts about things that you and I have? Oh, He doesn't. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And then Daniel in chapter 5 and verse 10, now the queen, by reasons of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee. Oh, how we ought not let our thoughts trouble us. And I don't know about you, but I am my own worst enemy. And I have a suspicion that you are your own worst enemy as well. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Oh, how often my thoughts trouble me. Yeah. How often my countenance changes. All because of the thoughts that I've had or that I'm having, which are based upon the circumstances. And then in Matthew chapter 12, the first part of verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts. Yeah, He always knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts. Aren't you glad that your thoughts are not the Lord's thoughts? Don't let your thoughts trouble you. Don't let your thoughts change your countenance. And I say this because, can you imagine the thoughts that the disciples must have had, especially after Jesus had received word, Jesus, the one whom thou lovest, Lazarus, he's sick. And yet he tarried two more days. Boy, if it had been me, oh, let's get in the car, let's go. But if it had been you, let's go. Let's call, let's do something. Jesus tarried there two more days. Can you imagine what those disciples thought? I mean, in the midst of the circumstances, he tarried there two more days. And there are times in your life and times in my life that we might think, Lord, why do you tarry? Why are you taking so long? Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know how sick Lazarus is? Don't you know what Mary and Martha are going through? But remember that Jesus Christ always knows. But also remember that His ways are not your ways. But also remember that if it concerns you, He will perform it. Listen again to the psalmist. Oh, I'm sure it's familiar to you. But oh, that verse is filled with truth. And that verse is so meaningful to me personally. It is. And I'm going to read Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. If it concerns you, God will bring it to pass. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Oh, I know the Father forsook Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was made sin for me. I understand that. I understand why. Psalm 22 and verse 3, for Thou art holy. Oh, God is holy. Holy. And I know that very moment Christ became sin for us that believe. Oh, I understand that. But He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to forsake me. Remember, He loves you. He loves me. Oh, He does. And remember that His thoughts, His ways are not our thoughts. He doesn't think like you and I do. I'm so glad He doesn't think like I do. Sometimes I don't even think at all. I think that's your problem, too. I think sometimes we as people go off half-cocked without even thinking. I really do. I know I do. But the second thing I want us to focus on is the love of the Lord. I mean, look at the fifth verse. Oh, Jesus, He loved Martha and He loved her sister, Mary. And He loved Lazarus. That's what the Bible says. And He knew what Lazarus was going through. We've already talked about that. He knew what the sisters were going through. We've already talked about that. And yet His mission remained the same. Don't forget, He knew all things. Not because He was told. No. He's God. God has perfect knowledge. He knew that Lazarus was sick. We see this in verse 1, verse 2, still in verse 6. And does not this same God love me? Mm-hmm. Does not God love you? Mm-hmm. And in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Your circumstance, your experience, my experience, my circumstance is not just for me alone. Mm-mm. But it's that Christ might be glorified as well. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I thought about long and hard. How in the world can we bring more glory and honor to Jesus Christ as believers than by trusting Him? Oh, He saved us from sin. And I trusted in Him. And what did it Calvary on my behalf? And I was given eternal life. But you know, now that I'm a believer, I am to live by faith. Aren't I not? So are you if you are a believer. Mm-hmm. Oh, have you ever had those times when everything goes wrong? I've had some of those times. But you know what? God, His love for me, it's out of this world. The world cannot know the love that God has for His people. Listen to Paul the Apostle in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed in the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I'm talking to those of you that believe. Did not God foreknew you? Yeah. He knew us before the world was made. I can't fathom that. That's what the Scripture says. And is not God's purpose for you and for me to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? He's busy making you and making me just like His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been predestined to this. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens, I am convinced, that one way He does this is He brings circumstances into your life and into my life. And I am convinced that, well, we just read Romans 8:29, and I'm convinced that Romans 8:28 has the answer. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to tell you something. I've had a change of mind. I am now convinced with all my heart that this verse has to do with our being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Christ. Nonetheless, your experience, my experience. Oh, listen. It's much, much more than just for you or for me. It's much more than that. But our circumstances is for the glory of God as well. And you and I may be conformed more and more and more in the image of Christ. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, and Jesus Christ is a son, he's always been the son. He always will be the son. He's the eternal son of God, if I can use that term. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. How did he do that? By the things which he suffered. You and I must understand that God is making us just like Jesus Christ. Oh, he's not through with me yet. And a term that I've always used. I'm not what I ought to be. Neither are you. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Oh, God is more. God, and as I've said before, God has been a parent for a long time. He's had children a long time. He knows just what he's doing. He doesn't have to read a book and say, what in the world am I going to do? He always knows what he's going to do. And it's through your experiences and it's through my experiences that God is conforming us into the image of his dear son. And don't ever forget. Oh, don't. God loves you. Oh, he loves you. And there is nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. But also, we see that Christ is a gracious teacher. He really is. Verse 9, and Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. Jesus answered his disciples. Why would he answer them? Well, it's because he knew what was going on in their minds. He heard what they said. Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Lord, don't you remember those Jews? Oh, they tried to stone you. Yeah. They tried. And don't forget that Bethany is just out, it's not far from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where those religious Jews were. And how often have you wondered, how often have I wondered in our experiences, Lord, are you sure? Is that what you want to do? Are you sure? I don't know about you, but I have always known what I needed to do. But the Lord who loved them, the Lord who loved me, the Lord who loved you, the Lord who loved Israel, remembered that they were but flesh. Listen again to David, the psalmist, in Psalm 78, verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God remembered Israel was but human. God remembers. I'm but a man. God knows. Now, I'm not condoning everything I've done. I'm not condoning everything you do. So don't get that. Being human is not a license to sin. But God remembers. God takes into account we are but flesh. He is the initiator. We are the responder. They question, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure you want to stay here two more days? I mean, after all, those Jews, boy, they've already tried to stone you. But the Lord is a gracious teacher. He really is. The Lord always knows what He's doing. Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? He always does. I will not stumble, He says to them. Oh, I see. You and I need to better understand that Jesus Christ always knows what's best. He always knows what He's going to do. That's what John's Gospel tells us. But there's something else here. Jesus is a wondrous speaker. Verse 13, verse 23. In verse 13, we see the words, Jesus spake. In verse 23, Jesus saith and spake. Now, in verse 13, Jesus is talking about His death. But they thought something else. Oh, listen. Jesus always knows what's best. Is He not truth? Did He not say, if it were not so, I would have told you so? Does Jesus Christ know not how to speak? Yeah, He knows just what to say, just what to do. Listen to John 14, verse 2. In My Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Not only that, but if anything is not so, I would have told you. He knows just what to do. In your experiences, in my experiences, And I realized that our Lord here was talking about His death. You know, Paul the Apostle talked about the death of Jesus Christ too. You and I, we would be wise to always be mindful of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Oh, you and I ought never grow tired of talking about salvation, which we have been given through Jesus Christ and why He did it at Calvary on our behalf. Oh, there's much more that could be said. But He's also a timely visitor. I mean, He tarried 2 more days. Lord, are You sure You know what You're doing? Sometimes you and I, we find ourselves in circumstances. We find ourselves having experiences. Lord, don't You know what I'm going through? Don't You understand? Oh, He does. He does understand. And He will come to me. He will come to you. He will perfect His will in the fullness of time. Did He not come the first time in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time? Did Jesus Christ not say that I'm coming again for you, that you can be where I am? Mm-hmm. Now, we do not see that He's coming. We do not see that in association with the words in the fullness of time. But we know that when He comes, it will be in the fullness of time. Not too late. Not too soon. Just right. And don't forget, He's not on our timetable. He doesn't come when you and I think He should. He comes when He knows He should. And when Jesus came, when He went to Bethany, when He went to where Lazarus was sick and had died, and was buried. In John 11, verse 17, then when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Lord! He stinketh! Lord! Decay has already set in. But you know what? He is a helping Savior. Oh, He is. Not only is He Savior, and indeed He saved my soul. If you believe, He saved your soul. If you will believe, He will save your soul to the uttermost. God just doesn't halfway do anything. It's all the way, or it's nothing. In verse 33, well, let me read verse 33. John 11, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in His spirit, and He was troubled, not because of death. Are you forgetting who Jesus is? He's God. He is life. He is resurrection. Nah, death doesn't bother God. God's not bothered when our loved ones go home. Mm-mm. But He saw her weeping. And why was she weeping? Was because of the death of her brother Lazarus. I've never had a sibling die. And I've wept. That's new to me. I've never had that. But Jesus saw her weeping. And He knew why she was weeping. He knew. He knew what was going on because he always knows what's going on. And he was there to show them just who he is. All this entire passage is centered around death. But that same Jesus, he went to Calvary for you and for me. In just a little bit, you and I will partake of the Lord's Supper. We will. But you know what? He wants you and I to remember not the death of Lazarus. It's not what he said. Now, there's nothing wrong with remembering the death of your loved ones. I remember. Oh, I do. There's nothing wrong with that. But oh, how we never should forget the death of Jesus Christ. As oft as you do this, you're remembering my death. Oh, what a Savior you and I have. We have quite a Savior. We really do. In just a moment, we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember that He died for those that believe, for His people. Oh, I'm so glad. I really am. And not a day goes by I don't say, God, thank you. And sometimes 3 or 4 or 5, 6 times a day. I'm not trying to convince myself. That's just what the heart says. I'm just thankful. Because I know who I am. I know what I am. You know what God does too? God saved me anyway. I'm so glad. In a moment, we are going to observe our Lord's Supper. In the meantime, I would ask that all of you bow your heads. And if there is anything that would trouble you, if there's any sin that has not been confessed, those of you that believe, I would ask you, take this time now to confess it. And remember, when you are confessing, you're not telling God anything He doesn't already know. Homologeo. You are agreeing with Him. It's there.